May 4th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be in the book of Judges, chapter 19, verse 1, through chapter 20, verse 48. We'll learn as we read in today's scripture that the sad history of Israel moves now from idolatry to immorality and civil war. One incident of lawlessness can cause a national crisis, as we'll see during our scripture reading today. It makes a difference when God's people are truly salt and light in a decaying and dark society. And then we'll read on into chapter 20 of the book of Judges. And this chapter is a good illustration of James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. When we operate on the basis of human wisdom, we create one problem after another. But when we pause to pray and seek the mind of the Lord, He shows us what to do. The Benjaminites did not seek the Lord, or admit their guilt, or repent of their sins. There can be no peace unless sin is put away. God's people today need to deal with sin in their lives and in the church family. Unconfessed sin is really like an uncontrolled disease. It spreads and it kills. It's contagious. And we'll see how all that gets manifested as we read today from the Old Testament. May 4th, Judges chapter 19, verse 1 through chapter 20, verse 48. Now in those days, Israel had no king. There was a man from the tribe of Levi, living in a remote area of the hill country of Ephraim. One day he brought home a woman from Bethlehem in Judah to be his concubine. But she was unfaithful to him and returned to her father's home in Bethlehem. After about 4 months, her husband took a servant and an extra donkey to Bethlehem to persuade her to come back. When he arrived at her father's house, she took him inside, and her father welcomed him. Her father urged him to stay a while, so he stayed 3 days, eating, drinking, and sleeping there. On the fourth day, the man was up early, ready to leave, but the woman's father said, "Have something to eat before you go." So the two of them sat down together and had something to eat and drink. Then the woman's father said, "Please stay the night and enjoy yourself." The man got up to leave, but his father-in-law kept urging him to stay. So he finally gave in and stayed the night. On the morning of the fifth day, he was up early again, ready to leave. And again the woman's father said, "Have something to eat. Then you can leave sometime this afternoon." So they had another day of feasting. That afternoon, as he and his concubine and servant were preparing to leave, his father-in-law said, "Look, it's getting late. Stay the night and enjoy yourself. Tomorrow you can get up early and be on your way." But this time the man was determined to leave. So he took his 2 saddled donkeys and his concubine and headed in the direction of Jebus, that is, Jerusalem. It was late in the day when they reached Jebus, and the manservant said to him, "It's getting too late to travel. Let's stay in this Jebusite city tonight." "No," his master said, "we can't stay in this foreign city where there are no Israelites. We will go on to Gibeah. We will find a place to spend the night in either Gibeah or Ramah." So they went on. The sun was setting as they came to Gibeah, a town in the hand of Benjamin. So they stopped there to spend the night. They rested in the town square, but no one took them in for the night. That evening, an old man came home from his work in the fields. He was from the hill country of Ephraim, but he was living in Gibeah in the territory of Benjamin. When he saw the traveler sitting in the town square, he asked them where they were from and where they were going. "We have been in Bethlehem in Judah," the man replied. "We're on our way home to a remote area in the hill country of Ephraim, and we're going to the tabernacle of the Lord. But no one has taken us in for the night, even though we have everything we need. We have straw and fodder for our donkeys, and plenty of bread and wine for ourselves." "You are welcome to stay with me," the old man said. "I will give you anything you might need, but whatever you do, don't spend the night in the square." So he took them home with him and fed their donkeys. After they washed their feet, they had supper together. While they were enjoying themselves, some of the wicked men in the town surrounded the house. they began beating at the door and shouting to the old man, "Bring out the man who is staying with you so we can have sex with him." The old man stepped outside to talk to them. "No, my brothers, don't do such an evil thing, for this man is my guest, and such a thing would be shameful. Here, take my virgin daughter and this man's concubine. I will bring them out to you, and you can do whatever you like to them. But don't do such a shameful thing to this man." But they wouldn't listen to him. Then the Levite took his concubine and pushed her out the door. The men of the town abused her all night, taking turns raping her until morning. Finally, at dawn, they let her go. At daybreak, the woman returned to the house where her husband was staying. She collapsed at the door of the house and lay there until it was light. When her husband opened the door to leave, he found her there. She was lying face down, with her hands on the threshold. He said, "Get up, let's go." But there was no answer. So he put her body on his donkey and took her home. When he got home, he took a knife and cut his concubine's body into 12 pieces. Then he sent one piece to each tribe of Israel. Everyone who saw it said, "Such a horrible crime has not been committed since Israel left Egypt. Shouldn't we speak up and do something about this?" Then all the Israelites, from Dan to Beersheba, and from the land of Gilead, came together in one large assembly, and stood in the presence of the Lord at Mizpah. The leaders of all the people and all the tribes of Israel, 400,000 warriors armed with swords, took their positions in the assembly of the people of God. Word soon reached the land of Benjamin that the other tribes had gone up to Mizpah. The Israelites then asked how this terrible crime had happened. The Levite, the husband of the woman who had been murdered, said, "My concubine and I came to Gibeah, a town in the land of Benjamin, to spend the night. That night, some of the leaders of Gibeah surrounded the house, planning to kill me, and they raped my concubine until she was dead. So I cut her body into 12 pieces and sent the pieces throughout the land of Israel, for these men have committed this terrible and shameful crime. Now then, the entire community of Israel must decide what should be done about this." And all the people stood up together and replied, "Not one of us will return home. Instead, we will draw lots to decide who will attack Gibeah. 1/10 of the men from each tribe will be chosen to supply the warriors with food, and the rest of us will take revenge on Gibeah for this shameful thing they have done in Israel." So all the Israelites were united, and they gathered together to attack the town. The Israelites sent messengers to the tribe of Benjamin, saying, "What a terrible thing has been done among you. Give up these evil men from Gibeah, so we can execute them and purge Israel of this evil." But the people of Benjamin would not listen. Instead, they came from their towns and gathered at Gibeah to fight the Israelites. 26,000 of their warriors, armed with swords, arrived in Gibeah to join the 700 warriors who lived there. 700 of Benjamin's warriors were left-handed, each of whom could sling a rock and hit a target within a hair's breadth without missing. Israel had 400,000 warriors armed with swords, not counting Benjamin's warriors. Before the battle, the Israelites went to Bethel and asked God, "Which tribe should lead the attack against the people of Benjamin?" The Lord answered, "Judah is to go first." So the Israelites left early the next morning and camped near Gibeah. Then they advanced toward Gibeah to attack the men of Benjamin. But Benjamin's warriors, who were defending the town, came out and killed 22,000 Israelites in the field that day. But the Israelites took courage and assembled at the same place they had fought the previous day, for they had gone up to Bethel and wept in the presence of the Lord until evening. Then they asked the Lord, "Should we fight against our relatives from Benjamin again?" And the Lord said, "Go out and fight against them." So they went out to fight against the warriors of Benjamin. But the men of Benjamin killed another 18,000 Israelites, all of whom were experienced with a sword. Then all the Israelites went up to Bethel and wept in the presence of the Lord and fasted until evening. They also brought burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord, and the Israelites went up seeking direction from the Lord. In those days, the Ark of the Covenant of God was in Bethel, and Phinehas, son of Eleazar and grandson of Aaron, was the priest. The Israelites asked the Lord, "Should we fight against our relatives from Benjamin again, or should we stop?" The Lord said, "Go. Tomorrow I will give you victory over them." So the Israelites set an ambush all around Gibeah. They went out on the third day and assembled at the same place as before. When the warriors of Benjamin came out to attack, they were drawn away from the town, and as they had done before, they began to kill the Israelites. About 30 Israelites died in the open fields and along the roads leading to Bethel and Gibeah. Then the warriors of Benjamin shouted, "We're defeating them as we did in the first battle." But the Israelites had agreed in advance to run away so that the men of Benjamin would chase them along the roads and be drawn away from the town. When the main group of Israelite warriors reached Baal Tamar, they turned and prepared to attack. Then the Israelites, hiding in ambush west of Gibeah, jumped up from where they were and advanced against Benjamin from behind. The fighting was so heavy that Benjamin didn't realize the impending disaster. So the Lord helped Israel defeat Benjamin, and that day the Israelites killed 25,100 of Benjamin's warriors, all of whom were experienced with a sword. Then the men of Benjamin saw that they were beaten. The Israelites had retreated from Benjamin's warriors in order to give those hiding in ambush more room to maneuver. Then those who were in hiding rushed in from all sides and killed everyone in the town. They sent up a large cloud of smoke from the town, which was the signal for the Israelites to turn and attack Benjamin's warriors. By that time, Benjamin's warriors had killed about 30 Israelites, and they shouted, "We're defeating them as we did in the first battle." But when the warriors of Benjamin looked behind them and saw the smoke rising into the sky from every part of the town, the Israelites turned and attacked. At this point, Benjamin's warriors realized disaster was near and became terrified. So they ran toward the wilderness, but the Israelites chased after them and killed them. The Israelites surrounded the men of Benjamin and were relentless in chasing them down, finally overtaking them east of Gibeah. 18,000 of Benjamin's greatest warriors died in that day's battle. The survivors fled into the wilderness toward the rock of Rimmon, but Israel killed 5,000 of them along the road. They continued the chase until they had killed another 2,000 near Gidom. So the tribe of Benjamin lost 25,000 brave warriors that day, leaving only 600 men who escaped to the rock of Rimmon, where they lived for 4 months. Then the Israelites returned and slaughtered every living thing in all the towns, the people, the cattle, everything. They also burned down every town they came to. May 4th. And today, as we look into the New Testament, we'll be reading from the book of John, chapter 3, verse 22, and we'll go through chapter 4, verse 3. In John chapter 3, we'll learn about a birth from above. In our first birth, we are born of the flesh and born of water. But in our second birth, we're born from above again and born of the Spirit. Our first birth leads to death, but our second birth brings eternal life. The new birth is a new beginning that results in the newness of life. We'll learn about a Savior from above. Jesus is the Son of God, come down from heaven. He is the serpent Moses wrote about. He is the Father's love gift. And he is the light in a dark world. Like the serpent, he was lifted up. And he died on a cross for the sins of the world. All who look to him by faith receive eternal life. And as we move on into John chapter 4, we'll learn about thirst. Because Jesus was truly human, he experienced weariness, hunger, and thirst. But his deepest desire was for the salvation of the sinful woman he met there at the well. He forgot his physical needs and concentrated on her spiritual needs. Patiently, he revealed himself to her. a Jew, greater than Jacob, a prophet, a Messiah. He told her plainly, I am the Messiah. And she believed in him. And her life was so changed that she immediately shared the good news with others, as we shall see. And now let's hear what the Word of God says as we read from the New Testament. May 4th, John chapter 3, verse 22, through chapter 4, verse 3. Afterward, Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem, but they stayed in Judea for a while and baptized there. At this time, John the Baptist was baptizing at Aenon, near Salim, because there was plenty of water there, and people kept coming to him for baptism. This was before John was put into prison. At that time, a certain Jew began an argument with John's disciples over ceremonial cleansing. John's disciples came to him and said, Teacher, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you said was the Messiah, is also baptizing people, and everybody is going over there instead of coming here to us. John replied, God in heaven appoints each person's work. You yourselves know how plainly I told you that I am not the Messiah. I am here to prepare the way for him. That is all. The bride will go where the bridegroom is. A bridegroom's friend rejoices with him. I am the bridegroom's friend, and I am filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. He has come from above and is greater than anyone else. I am of the earth, and my understanding is limited to the things of earth, but he has come from heaven. He tells what he has seen and heard, but how few believe what he tells them. Those who believe him discover that God is true, for he is sent by God. He speaks God's words, for God's Spirit is upon him without measure or limit. The Father loves his Son, and he has given him authority over everything. And all who believe in God's Son have eternal life. Those who don't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but the wrath of God remains upon them. Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea to return to Galilee. Today we're reading from Psalm 104, verses 24 through 35. Psalm 104 praises God for his fullness as creator. Psalm 105 for his faithfulness as redeemer. And Psalm 106 for his forgiveness as savior of his people. Only a great and wise God could make this kind of world. It is a place not only of greatness, but of goodness. God calls it good. He provides life, water, food, and homes for man and beast, and also the birds. And he sees to it that they are cared for. Everything in creation is God's gift to us to enjoy. God rejoices over creation, and you and I should be glad in the Lord. Creation is a window through which we see God, not a mirror in which we see ourselves. And the more we see him, the happier we become. Only this will make us good stewards of God's creation. Psalm 104, verses 24 through 35. O Lord, what a variety of things you have made. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the ocean, vast and wide, teeming with life of every kind, both great and small. See the ship sailing along, and Leviathan, which you made to play in the sea. Every one of these depends on you to give them their food as they need it. When you supply it, they gather it. You open your hand to feed them, and they are satisfied. But if you turn away from them, they panic. When you take away their breath, they die, and turn again to dust. When you send your spirit, new life is born to replenish all the living of the earth. May the glory of the Lord last forever. The Lord rejoices in all he has made. The earth trembles at his glance. The mountains burst into flame at his touch. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God to my last breath. May he be pleased by all these thoughts about him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let all sinners vanish from the face of the earth. Let the wicked disappear forever. As for me, I will praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 22 through 24. If you plot evil, you will be lost. But if you plan good, you will be granted unfailing love and faithfulness. Work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Wealth is a crown for the wise. The effort of fools yields only folly.